First time we did it, I was scared to death. She snuck out in that cotton dress. Jumped on in and we drove to the lake. Put her hand on my knee and said, I can't wait. I had everything we needed in the bed of my truck. Turns out my baby loves to fish. She wants to do it all the time. Early in the morning, in the middle of the night. She's hooked and now she can't get enough. Man, that girl sure loves to fish.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of Fishy Radio. I'm Alex, and we have Heather, Dee, and Jeannie with us, as always. Girls, how you been doing?
Awesome. Jeannie, you've been working, haven't you?
Shut up, walking in here with a damn tan and your little raccoon sunglass eyes, and I've been at work.
Working on my beauty tan.
Yeah.
I have to get rid of these white socks that I permanently have.
I didn't notice that. But you're getting
get
your
rid
flip-flop
of them
tan.
Reeboks.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, then my suntan would be right up to my kneecap.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys don't get it, okay.
Got you. No, gotcha.
Last week you brought in some ceviche for us to try.
Yes, ma'am.
It was really good. Do you have a recipe for that?
I do. Now, this was a recipe that I was taught from my mom, that was taught from her mom, so it's secret.
We can keep secrets.
Yeah, all right. Anyway, it's super simple. Usually, I use a firm white fillet.
Okay.
Maybe like a snapper. My favorite is red snapper. But you can use mangrove snapper or... Yeah, I don't use snapper, so... Other than that, the one that I made you last week had what was in season because we got a few Florida lobsters from the Keys that we caught. So we had... There was two big tails in there. And we went to Arapica and actually went diving for scallops, which that was the other thing that was in there. So basically it's super simple. You take meat out, obviously from the shellfish. Make sure you cut them up in real small pieces because the smaller the pieces are, the faster that they will cook in the juice because we're just going to put them in lime juice and the lime juice is going to cook the meat for us. So I usually cut them up. To be honest with you, I'm not really like a cutter person, so I usually put it in the food processor and chop them up in small pieces. That's usually what I do. Anyway, so you just get those.
So you do that with snapper too?
Yes, snapper.
Lime juice?
Snapper, yeah, because the fillets are pretty firm, so they don't just fall apart. They're flaky but firm.
Okay.
I guess. So yeah, you can do that. Usually putting them in the food processor. Maybe just a couple shoot taps, but other than that, those fillets will come apart easily. You'll literally have shreds.
A couple of what? I'm sorry, could you say that again?
What?
You said put them in the food processor and do a couple of what?
Okay. Hits on the button, you know?
Okay, got it. I got it now.
Hits on the button.
Didn't just really get it. Because
they'll be like shredded and you'll be eating like fibers, you know what I mean? So you don't want to do that. So usually when I do the fish, I just cut them with a knife.
Okay.
The best I can, which is not that good. Okay, so anyway, after you get that, all the meat together in a bowl, basically, after you take it out of the food processor, it's maybe a cup of lime juice. Usually, it's like six limes. I got that neat, I actually bought the neat lime squeezer.
Oh, the bar?
Yes.
The bar.
It is awesome. I can squeeze six limes in a matter of seconds, it feels like. But anyway, it's like six, it's usually like around six limes. You know, you cut them in half, and then you squeeze the lime juice in there. You get about a cup out of there. But depending on how much meat you put in there, which I don't use, you know, measurements, obviously. I just go totally
That's
on feel.
A dash of this and
so you say how many pounds, how many ounces of meat? I don't know. We use two lobster tails and like
a bunch
eight,
of this and a little
scallops.
Bit of that.
Eight big scallops.
Were those scallops sliced?
They were chopped and like diced.
Okay.
Oh, you mean because the thickness?
Yeah.
Yeah, cut them in half.
Okay.
Thickness wise. And then just diced them up.
I love the scallops. Those were super, super tasty.
They were good,
and,
weren't
yeah.
they?
Yeah.
Those scallops from northern Florida, I just love them. They're very tasteful, too, I think. They're sweet.
Yeah.
So anyway, you just get enough juice in there to cover the meat. Because all the meat's got to be in there because the juice is what cooks the meat. And then usually I just cover it up with wax paper or plastic.
Saran wrap.
Plastic.
Whatever you got on hand.
Because usually I like to push all the bubbles out. You know, push it down on the meat and then get all the bubbles out so it's all saturated. And because you don't, you know, last thing you want is uncooked shellfish. And you're so and then you just put it in the fridge.
So at that point, it's like it's almost vacuum sealed because there's nothing.
Yeah, I don't like strap it, like stretch it around the bowl or nothing. Just like push it down in on top of the meat. And
so there's no air.
So there's no air.
There.
Try to get to where there's no air in it. Just that way it's all in the juice, you know. There's not a piece sticking up that's not going to get cooked.
So all you've done is you've taken a piece of wax paper or a piece of Saran wrap, put it on the bottom, put your fillets on the top. Put your juice over top of it, and then put a piece of
you take all your meat, all your meat, and you put it in a bowl. And you have to make sure you use a glass bowl or something like that, because the acid from the lime, like a non-metallic bowl, it will actually bleed it. The bowl
The flavor will.
Yeah. So you want to make sure you use a glass bowl.
Okay.
That's what I use.
Okay.
And then, or stainless.
Okay.
Like a stainless bowl. And then you put all the meat in there.
Mm-hmm.
And you put, like, it's like a cup, like six limes of juice on there, and I usually, you know, take my hands and mix it all up, make sure everything's getting touched, you know, nice. And then I take the wax paper. All the wax paper is to try to get the bubbles out of the bowl.
Okay.
So I just like cover the top.
Okay.
I put it down on top of the meat.
Down inside the bowl.
Yes, inside the bowl, and then I just try to get all the bubbles out.
Okay.
Just a trick. That way, because if you don't, piece of meat sticking out, it's not going to get cooked.
Gotcha.
So it's just a good way to make sure it's all all in there.
And don't worry, it's okay. I won't tell anybody.
And then you just put it in the fridge for about an hour and a half, 2 hours.
And it's cooked.
Mm-hmm.
After 2 hours?
When you put
it
in there, you know, like a scallop is white, but a lobster tail is like clear, kind of. It's not white when it's raw. You know, it has like a brown, reddish, you know, clear thing. So you can tell when it's cooked, because when it's cooked, it turns white. Both of it turns absolutely white. And usually after about an hour and a half, 2 hours, when I get it out of there, I'll take a couple pieces from the bottom and I will tear them apart to make sure they're not raw on the inside.
Slimy, right?
Yeah.
Or they'd be clear on the inside instead of a solid white.
Yes.
Okay.
They should be white all the way through.
Okay.
That's why it's important to cut small pieces, because the bigger the chunk is, obviously,
the longer it's going to take.
It's going to take to cook.
Okay, I gotcha.
So then after that, it's easy. It's like making a salad, basically. I like green peppers, but I also like red peppers, yellow peppers, and it's good to put in there for color, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But they all taste the same, I think, to me.
Right.
Just, you know, get one of each. You know, dice them up real. Like again, I put them in the food processor. Some people do the knife. I don't do that. Not skilled enough to do that, but put in a food processor, give it a couple, you know.
wait.
Maybe it's because my food processor has a button, and you hit it, go whoop, whoop, you know, and you just kind of like.
Well, wait a second. Is there a difference between the woo woo and the shh?
No.
Are
same.
Those different buttons
same.
Or the same? Okay. All right. I just wanted to be clear.
No, same.
Okay.
You know, just give it a couple until it looks
small.
Wait,
a couple what? Woo woos or shh? Okay.
Shh-woo.
Okay.
Shh-woo.
Okay.
Just until you see how it gets small enough to where you take it out. Whatever. So you put that in there. And then I do red onion. I love red onions because I think they're a little bit more stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, they're red, so that adds to color.
Color.
So you do like a half onion. Again, it's all by sight, however you like it or not like it. And you put that in. I do cucumbers, but when you do the cucumbers, you have to cut out the cucumber, get the skin off. And then I cut the seeds out. So I just cut along the top of it. And then basically all you got is like a stalk of seeds.
Right.
I throw that out. Probably not. But it's like the best part of the
whole
thing. But anyway, so now you just have the white part of the cucumber. And then you just chop those up. Throw those in there.
So why don't you use that middle section?
Just make it watery,
because it's
maybe
watery,
or something?
Okay. You just don't want the seeds in there. I mean, same thing with the peppers. You know, you got to make sure you get all the seeds out. You don't want you don't want none of that stuff in there.
Okay.
Then, I don't know, you put everything. If you like hot, you can put
some. So no woots with the cucumbers?
No, usually I cut those with a knife because they're easy. Because they're already long. Yeah. So anyway, after that.
You were saying if you want to make it hot.
Oh, if you want to make it hot, sometimes I make a special batch for my husband because he likes it hot and I do not. So I usually put either jalapeno peppers in there or like a serrano pepper, like the real hot. But again, when you do that, make sure you cut the middle out of it, because that's seeds. The hottest part in and get rid of the seeds. Make sure there's no seeds in there. And then again, just chop them up real fine and put them in there. Then, after that, all you got to do is I put cilantro in there, a little bit of cilantro, maybe a little bit more of lime juice. Yeah. Oh, yeah, because when you put the meat in the bowl, you have to drain it from the lime juice at the beginning. So you don't want it.
Watery.
Get rid of the lime juice because
that you use for the cooking.
Yeah,
you want to discard that.
Touched raw and it's nasty. So
okay,
I always drain that part of it.
Do you have to do you put it in a paper towel or anything and try to?
No, I usually just use a spaghetti strainer.
Okay, all right.
Shake it a few times.
So you're just getting the excess off, basically. It's not that.
But
big
so
of a
when
deal.
You get everything else put on it, it kind of dries it up a little bit.
Soaks
so I always
a
add
bit of
a little bit of.
Okay.
Sometimes you put a little bit of zest, like the lime peel, in there.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good too.
Mm-hmm.
And then I add a little bit of lime or just make it to taste. And then you salt and pepper it, literally. That's it. And then you mix it up. And then I usually like to refrigerate it for a little bit longer because you got some stuff that's cold. You know, it's not the same temperature.
So it all marries together.
You mix it all up. You toss it like a salad, basically. You know what I mean? And then you just put it in the fridge. And probably.
So the cilantro was the only herb that you used in it?
Cilantro.
Other than that, just
salt and pepper.
You salt and pepper it. So, sometimes I'll put honey in it. I mean, depending if you like it real sweet, or you can add honey to it.
Honey sounds
good. You can put sugar
good.
In it.
So then you brought this into us. It was obviously covered, and you brought it in a glass dish, and then you had... you had some stuff on the side that we could scoop it up with.
Oh, yeah.
And that was...
So, anyway, we eat our ceviche with crackers. You know, it's like
mm-hmm.
a dip. So, I usually just get the butter crackers, you know, and then dip them. You just dip it and eat. It's so good.
It was really good.
It was super good.
Super good.
And I don't eat fish a lot.
And I don't eat
ever.
Scallops. And,
right.
Yeah, the whole thing was good.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. It was pretty incredible. And the salad portion of it just made it... It was like a refreshing summertime type of...
Yes.
It was really,
it's
really
great. It's really good for, you know, if you're having people over. I make it for football season
like
sometimes.
A dip.
You know?
It was like a dip.
Yeah.
It was really...
Or you're just having some friends over for a cookout. That's a good dish for cooking out.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
We do it... I do it, twice a month.
Oh, really?
Depending on how much fish you got. But like I said, I usually only use snapper. I have used smoked mullet before, which is really good. Yeah, it's really good.
So just a quick recap, you had lobster and scallops were your two main.
Yeah, and they were all Florida scallops and Florida lobsters, so, I mean, it was all local.
Heck yeah. And then you had peppers, just red, green, yellow, whatever you want to throw in there. You had some onion in there.
Mm-hmm.
I remember
cucumbers.
The salt. Okay, cucumbers. So
and
peppers, onion, cucumbers.
Yep, and then the hot peppers if you want to throw jalapenos or... Some people like the serrano pepper. That's way too hot for me. But
you ain't kidding. So the hot peppers and then salt, pepper, and cilantro, and it was just that easy.
Yep,
that easy.
Well,
it looked a heck of a lot more difficult than that.
That is that easy. So, yeah, I mean, and I love it. Like I said, we'll eat it for... We'll watch the race. We'll sit there and eat it.
It's
good for just hanging out, really.
It was great. It'd be good to just have on your counter and eat while you're making supper or something, you know, just kind of a little bit.
And a lot you get a lot, it goes a long way, too.
Yeah.
You know,
we put a dang hurting on
it.
It was good stuff. I don't think you had anything left to take home.
No, it was good. I'm glad. One time I did it, I used stone crab claws.
Yeah.
Ooh. And blue crab claws and stone crab claws. When the stone crab season was
mm-hmm,
in,
mm-hmm.
I usually try to go get or catch myself, you know, stuck local. It's all local. I don't in this on the one place in Barn Hills Fishery, right there, seafood place right there in Mount Lachey is the place to go. They got all local fish. They're the cleanest, and I think they got the best stuff there.
I love going down there to get fresh fish
because
it's all. I mean, it's obvious as soon as you come across the bridge that that's the place to get. I mean, it's all shrimp boats. It's all commercial boats. Like, it just screams fresh fish.
Oh, yeah.
I may have to make a trip down there one day.
Yeah. I mean, like, the other day when you guys wrecked those snappers, those red snappers, that's perfect for it. Perfect.
See, I don't know. Red snapper, though, is so good. I'd rather just have the flavor of the snapper.
Some people
instead of doctoring it up so much.
Some people do say that. And, like, a lot of times people say ceviche, they kind of use, like, a not so you know, they try to, like, doctor up a not-so-good fish.
Yeah.
Because, like, when we I first ate it, other than what my mom had made my whole life, when we went fishing in Massachusetts, and they used a fish name, it was called a scup. Well, a scup is kind of like a bait fish. It'd be kind of like our penfish.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'm like, I don't think I'm going to use penfish on that. You know what I mean? But that's, scup is not really like a snook. It's not like their sport fish. So that's what they use. But then I was like, you know what? I like to eat. We like to eat. So I said, why not go for it? And that's why I was like, you know, the Florida lobster season just kicked off. Or I guess it's over by now.
Yeah.
Mini season.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were able to go get scallops when the scallop season opened. We were there for the first weekend, so.
Nice.
That was fun.
That's awesome. And it's just, it's nice to be able to use stuff that you've harvested.
Yeah, and we tried, at my house, we tried to do everything. I don't want to say we live off the land. We do not do that. But anytime we get to go hunting for pigs or, or you know, fishing, whether it's in Massachusetts or Florida or Louisiana,
it's so much more rewarding, not to mention healthier for you, but it's just so much more rewarding when it's yours. You went and got it. And
We did gator one time. We went gator hunting in Louisiana one time, brought back some gator meat.
Do you know, are you able to substitute lemon
you can
in place of the lime? Or do half and half?
No, the lime is, you could do half and half, I'd say. Because a lot of times people will take, like I said, the zest.
Mm-hmm.
They'll take the peel and just shred it in there of a lemon and a lime.
Okay.
So I guess you could.
For the cooking process?
Yes.
Okay. Because
it's just a citrus acid that cooks the meat.
So lemon or lime would work in that
case, I guess
then.
So.
Okay.
I would definitely use lemon. I've never tried it with just lemon juice.
Gotcha.
Just lime juice.
Right.
But that's that. So next time, what's the next season? Stone crab season don't start till next year. So whatever, we're going to have to get it and make it.
You ain't kidding. You ain't kidding. What does come next? I don't know, but triple tail are here.
Oh, yeah. See, that
would
be a good
one. Get us some triple tail.
That'd be a good one.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's my next fish. I'm ready to go get me triple tail.
Yeah. I'll be ready to eat one.
And they're around the traps.
Huh?
They're around the traps.
That's right. They're around the traps. Stone crab traps.
Brad, I need crabs. Brad.
Brad.
Hint.
Well, thanks for sharing that recipe with us.
Yes, ma'am.
Definitely made me interested in trying it. I think everyone else definitely want to eat some more of those scallops.
They were good. Yeah. They were really good. They were big, too. I was shocked how big they were.
Heather, have you been out fishing recently?
Sorry, I just drank some water and went down the wrong way. Yes, this weekend, took the kids out Saturday afternoon. And
were you guys in the boat?
Yes. We went out on the boat. We went to actually fishing the 41 Bridge. Heard lots of talk about black drum.
There have been a lot of reports of the black drums going up there.
Yes. And, we went up there, found this, you know, the spot, and then just started throwing some shrimp.
Where's the spot?
At the
spot.
41
What's
bridge.
The spot?
The 41 bridge.
That's a long bridge. We need details, please.
Well,
the spot. Wait
I'll say it's close to the bumper. Northbound, southbound, I don't remember which one.
Uh-huh.
But
she doesn't
close.
Remember.
Yeah. Don't remember.
All right.
But, all we took out with us was shrimp. Crab probably would have been a little more successful, but they were eating on the shrimp. This is my first time I caught a black drum, start to finish, hooked it by myself, you know, cast it out, the whole works.
That's cool.
Yeah. Whoa. And it ended up, first one I caught ended up being 28 pounds. I can barely hold it up with one
that
hand.
That is awesome.
The pictures we took, it was so funny. I had the boga grips, holding it with both hands up over my head.
That's awesome.
But it was a good time. After that,
what did you guys use as bait?
Shrimp.
You were using shrimp?
Yep. And they actually seem to like the larger shrimp. I know a lot of times, you know, even in the shop, we tell them, you know, really size doesn't matter much. And, you know, it's more. But actually this time, they were hitting the bigger shrimp. The littler shrimp, not so much.
Those are some big fish.
Yeah.
Taking the heads off, tails off?
Nope.
Leaving them whole?
Just hooking them bottom of the mouth up through the top of the head and tossing it out.
What size hook were you using?
Hang on. Let me think.
Probably a 5.
Yeah, 5 or 6.
That's what I'm thinking. It was a 5-aught trocar.
Okay.
Is what he had on the boat. Yes.
Awesome.
Do you know what line and leader you were using?
I know it was a 30-pound leader.
Okay.
And we were using our light rods.
Nice.
Like 10 to 17s.
Fun little fight.
Yes. Yes, so it had no more than 30, probably 20-pound braid on each one.
See, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Catch a big fish like that on 20-pound is
that's fight, a hell of a fight. Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So did your daughter catch one, too?
She did. It was actually kind of funny. She, after I caught mine, we just... They weren't bite no more, you know, we couldn't get. So we actually went down to the 75 bridge.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing there.
Really?
Yes.
I'm surprised to hear that.
Yes.
That's
yeah, we gave it probably about a half an hour, you know, nothing, not even a nibble, not
wow.
even the snapper or catfish were messing with it. So we went back to the 41 bridge again, about the same little spot, I think, because I don't remember the exact spot.
Which was on the right, north or southbound lane.
Yeah,
remind me
it
again.
It was the one going that way where you got to go over the bridge.
Text us the coordinates later.
All right, you got it. But, yeah, after a while, I was in control of the boat, letting Steve do the casting, you know, get her hooked up. And, yeah, they didn't touch it for him either, even in the same spot. So I'm like, okay, let me have this again.
Yeah.
So I went at it. It wasn't just a few minutes later, we were hooked up again. Yep, so I'm like, Hayden, come on, grab this. She grabbed it. She's 13. You know, she's awesome. But she hasn't had that much experience fishing, but she has had so much fun. She
awesome. She enjoyed it?
She did,
and
very much
stomp
so.
Her feet and scream like a girl and
not
see,
really.
You
know,
that
she
was her holding the fish, right?
Yes.
Picture
yeah, that was her mm-hmm. holding the fish. It was probably about the half the size of her. Hers was, I think it was 28 pounds as well.
That's awesome,
yeah.
man. Could you imagine being that age and catching a 28-pound?
That's parenting done right.
That is
well,
awesome,
a few
man.
Weeks ago, we went out, awesome. And we hooked up on a tarpon, and she got her first tarpon a couple weeks ago,
wow.
too.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's lucky
amazing.
Girl.
Yeah, it ended up getting yes. away, but we had the leader, like, right there in sight.
It's hard to get your first tarpon to the
yeah,
boat.
Close
enough.
But it was
years.
At the boat. It was coming yeah. up. It was on its side. Yeah. It was ready. Steve went to reach for the leader to pull it in. To get the hook out and just it
gone.
Went away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how was the tide that day? I mean, were you fighting? I know right there at the bridge, you fight that current and fight that
the
current.
The current was pretty tough. That was my first time actually dealing with the current and controlling
Do you
the
have the
boat,
trolling
doing
motor
it.
Down?
No, we don't have a trolling motor.
Okay, so you were
so
on
it
the
was
big
just,
motor.
Yep, the big
forth,
motor back and forth. And
hold still.
The current actually kept wanting to take me sideways, not just
yeah,
out,
right.
sideways yep. and out. So it was, you know, I was getting close to the wall again, so I had to move up and,
yeah.
yeah.
So when you're doing that and not much current, you're, when you throw out, your line obviously just wants to go. You have, and those fish are down at the very bottom, so how much weight, do you remember? Like, how much weight were you using to actually get down
we
to the bottom?
We didn't have any weight.
Fish.
We used the jig head. It was probably
with
half.
Just a, with a, no, you said shrimp.
Yeah, just
okay.
shrimp and a jig head.
You didn't have any weight at all on
Nothing
there?
Other than the jig head.
Wow, how big was the jig head? Was it like 4 ounces or something?
No, it was just a little... Stomach. 3/8 maybe? Quarter? I don't...
No kid.
Yeah, it wasn't very big.
Was you on the bottom, you know? Or was you just kind of...
We were getting to the bottom because I'd get hung up.
Yeah.
But with the current, it was... I'd cast it out in front of us. The current would take it along the wall,
mm-hmm.
you know? And we were kind of moving along with it. So, yeah, the current was
That's
pulling
cool,
it
man.
Down to the bottom.
That's cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
I was there a couple
I
weeks ago and was having
caught
the opposite.
A monster drum. Blood drum, ladies. Yeah, I'm looking at you guys.
Hey, even Sammy, the little one, she caught one that day. With help, of course. But yeah, she caught
awesome,
one that was,
man.
I think
nothing.
Hers was like 26 pounds.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Man.
And how much does she weigh?
She weighs like
Maybe
48 pounds.
Yeah.
But yeah, the pictures, at first she was, this is the biggest fish she's ever caught. And she was actually almost kind of afraid of it. She's not afraid of fish. She's been fishing since she was 3. She's not afraid. But then, yeah, holding this fish and actually seeing it, we had to bribe her a little bit to get the pictures, you know, with this big old fish in her lap.
That's
but afterwards,
that is.
She was so excited about it. She was nervous, but she was excited.
Aww, yeah. Good for her.
That's awesome, man.
Congratulations, yeah. Sammy.
And oh, and one Girl other power. Great feat That's this right. weekend, besides the fish, I took the boat out by myself on Sunday. Me and Hayden. That's it.
You did?
Yes.
Details. Tell us all about it.
It wasn't... Okay.
So did you do it, like, start to finish? You drug it to the ramp, backed it down?
It's on a lift.
Oh.
So I don't okay. have to do the driving.
That's even
and all
better.
That. Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so we went there, got the... actually, first, we stopped at the bait shop, Fish and Frank's.
Now, this is the
we
new
had to get
boat,
our bait.
Right? Because yeah. we still have to get the old boat fixed.
Yes, the old
okay,
boat
this
is
the new
still...
Boat.
Yeah,
okay.
this is right. the... the charter boat.
Okay.
But,
so
yeah, stopped and got some bait.
Does Steve know that you took the charter boat out?
Yes.
Or did you kind of just wait for him to take a nap and be like, peace out?
No, he was working all day.
I'm just kidding.
No,
he's
been telling me for a while. He's like, you know, you should take the boat out. Since we got the new motors
That's
on
awesome.
It, and it's actually our boat now. We're not just using somebody else's boat. It's our boat now.
Right.
He's like, you should take it out. And I've been nervous because I haven't done that on my own.
I know,
before.
This is killing me. Like, I'm dying to hear this.
Okay, no more questions. So, almost out of gas. We decide we're going to go shark fishing. Just, you know, check out the holes. So, pull out of the canal. Well, first let it down the lip, get the engine started, and it room, you know. So, I actually end up driving to the fuel dock. Pull up to the fuel dock. On my own, didn't hit a thing.
Crash the fuel dock?
I didn't crash it.
High
it
five.
Was funny though. As I was driving up, the guy's just kind of standing there watching me, and I'm like,
yeah,
"This
probably-
is my first time. Be patient with me, because I am so slow."
Like, wait a minute, let me get my camera
right.
out.
Yeah,
exactly. Now then, he's like, "I get up there, and he's like, you pulled that in there like a pro." I'm like,
That's
"Sweet!"
Awesome.
And it was just me and Hayden, you know, even better. But yeah, we get there, get, you know, the gas, get all turned around in that little area, you know, the fisherman's village.
So, okay, all right.
Yeah, to where you've got the two
yep.
pumps there, and then you really don't have room to turn around, because
mm-hmm.
then you got the other post for the docking spots up
yeah.
there. So, yeah, we make it out of there. It's great. Start driving into the harbor. We were going to the middle hole.
Mm-hmm. The 20-foot hole?
Yes, the
mm-hmm.
middle 20-foot
mm-hmm.
hole. It was so beautiful out there. The
mm-hmm.
water was like glass. I'm like, it
What day was this?
Sunday.
Oh. I was out there Sunday. Yes.
Yes,
I have
Sunday.
A video
it
of
was
it.
Beautiful. I'm like,
yes.
this was the perfect day for me
yes.
to take this out on my own, my
Good
maiden voyage.
It was so beautiful out there on Sunday. I was at Two Pines, and I could see across the harbor to... And you could literally see everything on Boca Grande.
Yes.
It was
yes.
so nice. You could see Boca Grande like it was like almost... And within spinning distance of you.
It was amazing.
You know how it gets when
it
the water's just so calm?
Yeah.
And it looks like it's a lot closer than it is because
yep.
you can actually see things. That's how
I
it
went
was
down
on
to
Sunday.
Your neck of the woods on Sunday. I don't mean to interrupt this, but
oh, that's okay.
I was down to your neck of the woods on Sunday, and when I come back, I come up Placida, come through. Anyhow, coming back up into Punta Gorda, like, it was so pretty. You just couldn't see where, like, the water ended and the sky began.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
It was just beautiful.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. So, yes, great day to be out there. So you
yes,
get
you
your...
Yes, you
Yeah, you did. So
yes.
you got a nice boat ride. You're riding out to the 20-foot hole.
Yeah.
So is your daughter, does she, like, sit on the leaning post with you or in the seat with you?
She
or
did
is
that
she up
time.
Front or, okay, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So your daughter's
Usually,
how old?
13.
13, okay.
Yeah, That's she's 13.
Cool. So it's you and a little bit on the boat.
Yep.
Okay.
So I'm actually starting to put her to work. We get to the hole, and I have her pull the anchor out, throw the anchor, and, you know, it sets. It's so beautiful out. You know, the water's perfect. It sets right away. No issues with the anchor. It's just awesome. So then we get out our chum bag, throw the lines in the water, and... we didn't end up catching a thing, not even a bite, a nibble, but just the voyage and the adventure itself was amazing.
Did she have a great time?
She did, yeah. She even, for being 13 years old. And a girl in middle school, she's like, thank you, Mom. I'm like, for what? She's like, for taking me out. I had a good time.
That's no better feeling.
Yes. That's amazing.
Yeah, so she learned how to throw the anchor. She learned how to pull the anchor up. I showed her where the battery switches are.
So
she's learning.
So she's going to be you next.
Yes.
You're going to see her. She's going to have her own boat shortly. A couple more years.
I think
that's how we did.
She'll be starting in a little
jumbo. She won't
even
be having her driver's license yet.
Yep. That's what it sounds like.
Driving a boat.
Mom's teaching her right.
I even found out, you know, she's like, Mom, I want a kayak. She wants a kayak next. We have a pond. Well, one of the waterways in Northport. We live across the street from the park. So I'm like, well, yeah. Said, if you want one, put that on your Christmas list. We'll tell Santa.
There you go. Yay.
That's really cool, man.
So did she fish or while you were out there at the 20-foot hole?
She did.
Okay.
I mean, we were shark fishing, so it was kind of just throw the lines
out. Did you have a radio?
No. Well, yeah, she had music. She turned the music on our phone and let it play.
How long were you out there?
About an hour and a half, 2 hours.
So some pretty good
awesome.
Mama-daughter time.
Yes,
that's
great. That was nice.
That's really awesome. So you left there. Did you go straight back home?
Yeah,
we
did go straight back.
What time was that?
We left the hole at 6:30. Got back to the lift at 7:15.
Okay, awesome. Right about that time.
But
that
we're in that canal,
like
all the way at the back of the canal. So we had a long idle drive.
Right.
But
that's cool, man.
Yeah, definitely.
That's when you just chill.
Yep.
And you turn that radio way up.
Yep. That time of the evening is just it's just beautiful.
Get ready for the big idle zone.
Yeah,
she had turned the music on her phone, but she wasn't worried about her phone at all. She was just out there to enjoy
That's
it.
Awesome.
That
you know,
is
she's
amazing.
Sitting at home, she's sitting on her bed, you know, everything's about Snapchat and Facebook and you know, just all about the friends. But it got her away from that for a little while.
That's really
even
awesome.
Though it was right there, she had the access to it, but
so how was it pulling in back into the slip or back into the lift?
That was a little tricky because the tide was going out when we left, so the lift wasn't low enough when we came back.
Okay.
So, pulled up there. You know, I was able to grab onto the post to hold us right there.
Yep.
She climbed out and then got the lift lowered some. So she learned that, too, how to work the lift.
See? How great is that? That is
so she got it down
right.
just enough, and then she helped me kind of guide the boat, pull the boat up
So Steve wasn't back home at this point.
Yeah.
So y'all had to do it all by yourselves.
Yep.
That is awesome.
That's cool, man.
That's awesome. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
First time out. That's awesome. Yeah. Good for you. I love that story.
Yeah, we had fun.
That is awesome.
Great.
Not a fishing story.
Story,
but it was an adventure.
No, it's just
so the first time doing anything, obviously, is the hardest. So did that, like, your confidence level must have gone through the roof
it
now that
did.
Kind of I taken kept... away a lot of the fear of the first time.
It did. I kept sending Steve pictures throughout the day, you know, pictures of me and her, you know, as we were pulling away from the gas pump so you could see the pumps behind us. You know, yay, I did it.
Yeah.
You know, we made it, you know. Hey, I'm at the hole now. Look at this view.
Right.
And I'm anchored.
That's awesome.
And, you know,
awesome.
I had to keep sharing that with him.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So now I'm definitely ready to do it again.
Way more comfortable now.
Yes.
That's great.
Awesome.
That's
now,
really
now,
cool.
Now I just need to go out when it's a little rougher and learn how to read the water and the tides and the waves. And,
yeah.
But I'll get there.
Well, the only way that you're going
to
learn that
is to get
and
out
the
there.
Bottom and stuff is just to be out
just
there
to do
every
it.
Day.
And you know what? That's, screw up.
And now I'm
just
not afraid to do it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Just go do it and screw up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's the best way to do it. You know, just it's part of learning, you know.
It is.
That's really awesome. I'm happy for you, Heather.
Always,
that's
thank
really
you.
Great.
We always said, like, even in the shrimping business, the best time is on low tide because you will find and you will read every wall and oyster bar will be sticking
out of the water.
You will
find bars that you had no idea were there.
Actually, we downloaded the shrimp boat GPS onto my new chart plotter.
Cool.
So it has all the... Cause they literally have to mark, like, if they have a derelict trap or something, they'll mark it so they don't run into it or a rock.
I take
they'll mark
PVC
all
poles.
That stuff. Potholes are not good for shrimping. So they mark all the potholes. Stay away from those. And you'll see the lines will go in and out of... We And I'm like, it's perfect for fishing. So it's like, dang.
Snag book.
Yeah, man. Mm-hmm. So if you know that bottom, the bottom is more important than the top.
You know? Yeah. And we're coming into it. You know, we're in August, but winter time is the toughest for navigation because that's when we get our negative tides.
Right. Yeah.
And that's super, super, super scary. That's when you end up finding all that stuff on the bottom that is a little sketchy. Yeah. I found a crab trap over on the west wall coming right out of one of the creeks. And, of course, when you come out of the creeks, you know, you can't go straight. You have to go left or right because that's the way the water flows, so the sand builds up. But anyhow, it was right when you come to the right out of the creek, just where everybody runs. But on that negative tide, there it was.
Yeah.
And I happened to be on that negative tide, so I'm push-pulling my boat over the bar, and all of a sudden, that derelict crab trap. Well, the next day I went to Home Depot and went back out on a recon mission, got me a PVC pole and put it in that crab trap so somebody else doesn't hit it, you know.
Right,
but those negative tides, winter time is the time that you're going to learn lots.
You're
probably going to screw up, and it's just part of it.
If you have ever ran over a crab trap and I had that sucker wrap around your wheel, like a outboard is a lot easier than an the shrimp boat has obviously an inboard, but it's just a straight shaft with the propeller on the back of it. And that thing, I'm telling you what, it's hours upon hours.
I carry an entire bag of tools.
Yes.
And one of those tools is wire cutters, just in case I ever hit that crab trap. I have run over one once, and I never want to say I have run over two, ever. It's terrible.
Well, I don't even know if this is bad or not, but usually when we run them over, we take them to the channel and drop them overboard.
What the channel's deeper,
right?
Yeah, all right.
If you're bumping in the channel, you got serious issues.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you shouldn't be anywhere near those.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, I've seen people lose their life running over a crab trap on plane.
Really?
It's not,
Ooh.
You know what happens when a crab trap gets in your prop? You stop. All of a sudden, your boat has brakes.
Stop. Yeah, and you're eating the console.
Yeah,
I
but
know.
Your boat don't stop.
I'm
your
missing
boat stops,
my two
but
front
it don't
teeth.
Stop.
Right, exactly.
It's dangerous.
Yeah, you ain't kidding.
They have that closure for a couple weeks a year to clean up all them derelict traps, but not all the time do they get picked up.
I was running, on Sunday. Sunday, that tide got real low on Sunday, and I was running through Turtle Bay, and I was trying to ski them crab traps because that's where the deepest water is, you know, but there was a couple points that I had gotten a little bit too close to them because it was so skinny on Sunday that I'd throw my motor down in neutral and kind of coast by them because I'm like, oh, where are
you? Well, you have to remember that, too. If you see a buoy in the water, the trap is probably not directly
on
that
buoy.
That's
what I'm saying.
Yeah,
so,
right.
I mean, that buoy has, you know, if it has 4 or 5 foot of rope on it, it's got a 4 or 5...
So you never really know where that crab trap is, unless
Depending on how it's stuck out of water.
Exactly. So I throw it down into neutral, and I just kind of let my boat coast by it until I'm comfortable, but I'm not going to eat it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those crab traps scare the fire out of me.
Well, I mean, I don't know. But I can tell you this, Mount Lachey right now, the tide gets real low, and you can see every single crab trap is sticking out of the water.
Yep. They do on them negative tides.
But I'm telling you, they kill the crabs.
Yeah, I bet they do. You're right about that. I can imagine.
It's amazing when you go there on low tide and you're just like, wow. Literally half the crab trap is out of the water.
I was out there a couple weeks ago when I went to, when I posted those pictures on the Cape Hayes bar.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was coming back, I came back up the west wall and them crab traps were a good 6-8 inches out of the water.
Yeah.
And I was running inside of them. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you what
a
scary ride that was.
You gotta be paying attention.
Like, when you can see, you know, a country mile and every one of them crab traps is 8 inches out of the water and that's where you are.
Yeah.
It was scary. I had to, you know, cut to get back out, you know, into deeper water. And I got it to the console, you know, and I'm my teeth are chattering.
I got my eyes closed and my butt really like.
That's pretty much
until you get
into
that deep water, and then you're just like,
I'm either gonna make it or
y'all
I'm
hold
fixing
on a minute.
To eat it.
Y'all hold my beer. We're gonna get skinny.
Hold my beer. Watch this.
Y'all be careful.
That was scary, but on them negative
you can't
tides,
stop.
It becomes
at that point all you can do is
don't
just hope
sit
for the best.
Down. You sit down, you're stuck until that tide comes back in. Yeah, it was scary. It was real scary.
So, I've been in that situation. I hear you.
Wintertime is when you really learn a whole lot more than you ever wanted to know.
Yeah, I think I'll stick to the near shore in the wintertime.
Well, that's when you want to be offshore. Near shore is there is no water here in the wintertime.
That's my favorite time.
It's mine, too, but it makes tricky navigation when you're learning.
It's the best time to learn, I think.
If you have a good base knowledge during the summertime, I wouldn't be trying anything new in the wintertime. That's all I'm saying. Unless you know. Like, in the wintertime, I'll go where I know I'm safe.
See, that's another thing. Like, shrimping, I had to learn the opposite of you guys did. You guys learned sport fish or recreational fish first. I learned a commercial fish, which the bottom is everything.
Yeah.
You know, in our world. So.
Right.
On low tide, I always loved the fish because I knew
the bottom.
You can see it sticking out of the water.
Yep.
And then when the tide got high, you already still knew that thing's still there. You just can't see it.
It's great for fishing, though, because you know where all them holes are, and all them fish are holed up in that hole. They can't go nowhere.
Yes.
It's great for fishing. Navigational, get you.
It's tricky out there.
I stick to what I know in the wintertime. It's tricky. I mean, I remember last winter just trying... People launching their boats. I was out at Elgebeen launching my boat out there, and the guy in front of me couldn't even start his motor to get his boat off the trailer. He had to use ropes to get his boat off the trailer because even all the way down at the end of the ramp where we normally start our boat, bring it down off the trailer, he was still hitting bottom.
Good.
Like, that stuff gets everything about it gets tricky.
No, I agree with that. I'm not disagreeing with that at all. But
it gets tricky.
I don't know. I like the challenge. I like to find out. Because if you can read the bottom, it's like when you're looking at with your glasses on, your sunglasses on, you can see under the water.
Yes.
It's like that's the way I see it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It looks funny when it's, if I can't, you know.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I'm just, again, for... new boaters or people that are trying to learn.
Oh, yes.
You know, especially in, you know, boats, like, my boat goes, you know, I'm 40, 45 mile an hour. I screw up, and it's going to be painful.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
It's going to be very painful.
It's going to be real painful, so.
Yeah.
I kind of,
you would, know. I 100% for safety reasons agree with what you're saying. But on the other hand, it's good to get out there to learn it.
Yeah,
you know, just to learn it on the other way too.
Invest in
be
a push
safe.
Pull.
Just be safe.
I learned that. There's been last year. I think I pushed my boat more than I actually drove my boat.
Once you start doing it like that, you'll realize and recognize people will literally drive over fish, and they will go offshore to catch fish that they drove over getting there. Because they have, you know what I mean? They don't know.
Yeah, you're right.
A lot of times, it saves you a big headache, and you know you don't have to drive as far.
A lot of gas. Yeah.
So, that's awesome. High five me.
That is so cool, Heather. Like that is the coolest thing ever.
Your daughter will never forget that. I don't think.
No, you know what? That's probably going to be one of those stories that she's going to tell her kids when she's older about going out with her mama that day.
Or the first time that she
went out with her mama, because I'm sure there's going to be plenty more.
Yes. It'll be like an every weekend thing from now on, I think. Except for maybe this weekend.
Dinner's cooked, I'm going fishing.
Steve can go to work. It's okay, go to work, honey. It's all right.
Yeah. Exactly. He's got his long shift on Sundays, so I got Sunday
all
day.
Well, this way Steve can start taking vacation, go hunting, and you can start filling first charter business.
See, you know what? That's kind of what I was thinking, seriously. Yeah. Yep, thinking about it. So I got to start somewhere.
That would be
It'll
cool.
It'll take
like
a while to get there.
Yeah.
But I
got to
start somewhere. Yeah. And then I'll help him out, too, because he's not going hunting without me.
Oh.
Every now and then he needs a rest day.
Yeah.
So I'll help him out with that.
Yeah.
And how? Maybe we can double our income.
Yeah, right?
There you go.
Might as well. You put enough time out there, you can... There's a lot of money to be made.
Super
so that's a
awesome.
Long-term goal.
Plus, we have to get the little boat fixed, too. So
if he's out,
you can be on your big boat,
Sammy
little
needs
boat.
A boat, right?
Sammy
Sammy has a while to go. Maybe Hayden.
How old is she?
Sammy is 7.
Oh, Hayden's 13, though. She's going to need a boat here soon.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
She's already learning about Tama.
About 10 years old.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
No, come on. That's when I first had my first boat.
Yeah, yeah.
What's the age that you can drive a boat down here?
I don't know. Is there even an age?
Last I knew, there was not.
I don't think there is.
Whoa.
Last I knew,
there was not. So Sammy could get a boat.
Technically, yes. But you have to pass a course. There's like, I want to say it's like 1988.
What, for like minors or something?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, there's some sort of law they passed not long ago. That was, I don't remember.
I
want to say it's 1988.
Course, but
if you were born after that, you have to take a boater safety course before you can drive a boat.
Don't get me started with the boater safety course.
I guess I need to go get my boater safety course.
Everybody needs to have that.
See, for the longest time, though, I thought I had missed it by like a year or two. But I don't know what I was looking at because I was going crazy trying to find it. And then I found it. I'm pretty sure it said 1988.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the boater safety course is it's not a terrible thing anyhow. Oh. I know they put it on, I think, over in Inglewood, like, every month or two months or something.
Well,
I've been waiting on it because I'd like to go do
like
it.
Like the Power Squadron in Cape Coral? Yeah. I think they'd have free classes there.
Yeah, yeah. I'd like to do
it.
I
think people do it for free.
Just because, you know, you do it for so long and then you kind of...
I mean, don't quote me on that, but I think it's some organization.
Yeah, either forget the basics just because you've been doing it for so long, or things change and you've been doing it so long that you're not up on the new, you know, rules, regulations, whatever kind of things. And I'd like to do it just for kind of a refresher course. So, and these youngins having
can't
to
stop
take
learning,
water safety,
right?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see any reason that the kids shouldn't take it. So.
Absolutely.
I'm like super stoked. That's the best story I think I've heard.
That is awesome.
Yes.
Awesome.
That's really great.
It was fun. Definitely an interesting
weekend. Have you planned the next time you're leaving? When's the next trip?
Don't know.
Because for me, it would be like tomorrow. So tomorrow. Shit. I have to work. No, I don't
have
to work.
Well, I was going to charter tomorrow, so not tomorrow. And today it was too rainy to go out.
Let me ask you this. If there is somebody, some girl somewhere out there that's listening to our show, and she wants to take the boat out for the first time, but she's super duper scared and just can't do it, what advice would you have for her to get over that fear? And
I'd say just do it, because I've been talking about it really for a couple of months now. I'm like, I'm gonna do it, this weekend's the weekend, I'm just gonna. And I
What was your
other
biggest
excuses.
Fear to not do it? Did you have a fear? Was it like hitting something with the boat, or maybe
I don't
not
think
knowing
it
where
was
you, did you?
Any one thing in particular. It was just doing something
new
by myself
for the first time. Okay.
Yes. I mean, I've driven the boat hundreds of times already, you know, but I've always had somebody
just
right
in case.
Next to me. Yes, just in case. And I've been out there a couple times where the boat stalled, the motor wouldn't start, or the anchor got stuck and couldn't get it up, had to end up cutting it off.
Or your trim and tilt solenoids.
Yeah.
You ever had that happen?
Don't ask her how
driving.
She knows.
That happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
At the worst, it's like we were in about 6 inches of water, so I had the motor trimmed up. It was basically out of the water, and that solenoid took a crap.
Ooh.
And the motor was trimmed all the way up, and we were nowhere near the dock.
Yuck.
So I remembered my MacGyver, and I knew that you could jump them somehow with these wires. You know, you could jump them to go down. I've seen it done, but I've never done it myself. So I popped both the solenoids up, and one's up, one's down. I was like, call my husband. I'm like, I know you can do this, but there is, like, way too many wires. Like, I do not want to blow this thing sky high. You know, I asked him which wire to jump on which thing, and he told me, and I was like, okay, well, how am I going to get some wire? You know, I'm out on the boat fishing. Well, I remembered I just had a brand new radio installed, and those Fusion radios have like four zones or whatever zones, and I only use one because I only have two speakers. So I went back, and I did some MacGyver, and I went back there on the back of the radio, and I cut me off a couple of those. You know how it always has them extra wires hanging? And sure enough, man, it was so hot. It was at the end of the day. We had such an awesome day out on the water. We were actually on our way back to the dock when this happened. And when it happened, we were nowhere close. We had to push-pull,
And of course, the wind was blowing us right up onto the high mm-hmm. one. So I had to push pull out of there while I was messing with him. And sure enough, you get that last wire and you're like, please, God, do not let me catch it. Please, if you love
it's
me,
like a
you
bomb.
Will not let nothing happen. I pushed that wire right there in that solenoid horn and it went, I was like, oh, holy crap, that worked. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe that worked. So we got, and believe it or not, I did it a few more times to get it down just where I thought would be perfect.
Uh-huh.
Got up on there, started that sucker up, and it perfectly got us right up on plane. We did 40 miles an hour the whole way back to the dock.
That's awesome. See, these are only things that you would ever know by owning a dang
just
boat.
Things, right? It's literally getting stranded numerous times before you finally like, man, I know there's a way to get back to the dock.
Yeah,
yeah, and I think that's what my biggest fear was, because I don't know any of that MacGyvering stuff.
Oh, you will.
You're gonna learn. I've seen Steve do it numerous times. We'll be out there. He'll take the cover off the engine, like almost falling off the boat,
cussing,
moving, hitting something on the back of it. I wouldn't even know where to begin.
Yep.
So you just to learn, you got to do it.
Well, listen, like I said, I have a great big bag full of tools on my boat, and I'm not saying that I know how to use all those tools. I'm just saying that I hope that the person that I flagged down knows how to use those tools.
Perfect.
That's funny. Yeah, see, that's another thing on a shrimp boat, man. Everything is homemade. Like, literally.
Uh-huh.
Yep. You can't get it at Fort Myers Marine, you know what I mean? You can't go up to Inman Marine and get you a couple, That just doesn't work that way. So everything's homemade. Mm-hmm. So, like, literally, when stuff takes a crap, pumps or whatever, it's like, okay, we can rob this pump and put it on here till we get home. It's the motor pump. Well, we can't go far without the motor pump, the motor water pump, so we better, shrimp, put all the shrimp on this side,
Mm-hmm.
There's ways to get her. I mean, it's more of like a survival mode.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. Pretty much.
When you're stranded out
it's
there offshore.
What
and
you can do
you
when
got
you
one,
have to.
Yeah, you got one motor on hanging off the back of your boat and it's not working.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's
Whether
not
it's
time to panic. It's time to figure out how you're
Google or YouTube. Like, we use every resource we can possibly find to get that damn thing back to the dock. Yeah.
You have to.
Yeah.
Because there's not, like, especially offshore, there's not just people
right
by you,
Yeah, exactly. But you're fortunate because, a lot of people with boats and, if you ever needed me, you could call me.
Mm-hmm.
I'd come get you, and I'm sure
Dee'd.
Yeah, we'd. So you're fortunate
or I'll be
that way.
You'll be like, FaceTime is a wonderful thing.
Yes.
Like, you can be like, because that's what I did.
That.
I FaceTimed them. I was like, oh, here they are. What, which wires do I touch together?
Yeah.
And he told me, and sure enough, it worked, So it works.
But we are very lucky for modern technology.
Yes.
Absolutely. But so your advice would be just do it.
Just do it.
Just.
You're not going to learn nothing by being
How
afraid.
How nervous were you?
I was a little bit nervous.
Good.
But the weather was so perfect.
Yeah.
I think if it was more windy, the water was rough, I would have been more nervous. But once I got out of the canal and saw the water and how beautiful it was and.
Yeah.
I'm just like, okay,
so there you
I
are.
Can do this.
No matter how nervous you are, no matter what, just do it.
Just do it.
And you were so grateful that you did.
I did, because now I can't wait to do it again.
Oh,
with no
great.
Fear this time.
That's awesome. It's that first time.
We got a couple minutes left, so I guess we can all... where is your favorite restaurant to go to by water?
My favorite restaurant to go to by water? Honestly, the Lazy Flamingo down in Boquilia.
Yeah.
I love making that run down to Boquilia, and I love their peel and eat shrimp. That's my place to go. If it's rough out, or if there ain't enough time, or whatever, I'll go to Burnt Store. But my favorite place is probably Lazy Flamingo.
That's awesome.
Boquilia.
What about you?
Me, be Harpoon Harry's.
Yeah.
But that's the only one I've been to. By water, but we're in the canal right next to there, so it's just long day offshore. Okay, let's stop and eat before we put the boat up. And
what about you, Alex? Do you have any?
I really like the Village Brew House and Hurricane Charlie's.
That's cool. Is it easy to get to by water?
Yes. Hurricane Charlie's. I guess you can't go. Can you pull up with the boat?
No.
So it would be Village Brew House at Fisherman's Village.
Oh, that's cool. I've been there one time, actually, but not by water.
Red, white, and blue burger.
Harpoon Harry's, isn't that what's at the end of there?
Yeah, that's right next
to
it.
Yeah, Harpoon Harry's is at the end. I haven't tried that other one yet.
Oh, so good.
My favorite.
Cookie skillet?
Hands down. restaurant by the water, believe it or not. You're ready. You're outside, hot. As we know, it's 500,000 degrees out every friggin' day, every minute of the day. Yeah. Whether the sun's up or the sun is down. Is Woody's Waterside. Down Where's in St. James one? City.
Okay.
It's on Monroe Canal. Go in there and get you a cold, cold, cold beer.
Yeah,
and they got
buddy.
Burgers, they got wraps, anything that you want. It's good, good stuff. And it's good southern people there.
I'm going to have to try that one. I like the Lazy Flamingo because when you walk in there, like, their windows are, like, shipped. Oh, they're circled. Yeah. Like, and everything's made out of, it's all industrial. Everything's made out of, not wire.
Wood.
The wood? It's wood and it's, stuff that you make. Anyhow, I just love the, and the air conditioning.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Fishy Radio from Alex, Heather, Dee, and Jeannie.
Bye, girls.
Bye-bye now.
Taiwan's. Yeah, I know she loves
to fish. Look, I wasn't this hot when I was outside and shit.